Welcome to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I'm your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branching Minds team, here to lead conversations with educational leaders and experts. Here at Branching Minds, we know all over this country there are administrators and teachers doing the extraordinary work of transforming school communities, making a difference for students each and every day. There's no better way to begin our podcast than featuring some of these remarkable educators. For these first episodes, our Voices from the Field series, we will feature a few education rock stars who are leaders in their school communities, doing the service to support students and teachers. On today's episode, I had the opportunity to chat with Tricia Sinney, a superb educational leader. Tricia is a mom of three very busy kids ranging from 7 to 11 and spends most of her time outside of work at a sporting event of some sort. She started her career as a special education teacher, then transitioned to be a behavior and learning consultant for the district before landing her current role as the coordinator of assessment and MTSS in the Community Consolidated School District 59 based in Elk Grove Village, Illinois. Throughout this episode, we reference the term MTSS. Now, if you aren't familiar with MTSS or multi-tiered system of supports, it's a system-level structure or framework that a school or district might adopt to provide support for all students. MTSS really helps educators identify students' academic, behavioral, and social-emotional strengths and challenges and provides differentiated support for students based on their needs. Now for my conversation with Tricia. Today we have Tricia Sinney with us to talk about her experiences with MTSS and just for us to get to know her a little bit more. So to begin, Tricia, just go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and your school community and how long you've been in education.
Sure. So I work in School District 59, which is just outside of Chicago in one of the suburbs here. I've actually been in education for 21 years, all within the same district. I even student taught within this district. So I'm a bit of a historian, people like to joke around, within District 59. I've been here for quite some time. I'm a mom of three. I even live within the community here. So I started my career 21 years ago as a learning and behavior specialist at a K-5 building, working within a resource program. After around 7-8 years of that, I transitioned into what was called a learning and behavior facilitator for the district, where I consulted with different problem-solving teams around the district to help build plans for students who were struggling either academically or behaviorally. And then I moved into my current role a few years after that as the coordinator for assessment and MTSS.
Wow. So you've kind of done all the spectrum of different roles here.
A little bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're also, I would say you're also a stakeholder in lots of different areas as a parent, as well as at the district level too.
So. Yeah. I'm very invested in everything we do in here because not only do I work within the district, all three of my kids go to schools within our district too. So I'm able to bring a different lens to every conversation that we have.
Tell us a little bit about the district that you serve.
Sure. So our district includes just under 6,000 students. We have about 45% of our population are eligible for EL services. Around just shy of 60% of our families are considered low income. We have a very large one-way and two-way dual language Spanish program, as well as a one-way dual language Polish program. So that's kind of unique to other districts. And we serve students pre-K through 8.
Well, thank you very much. I'm excited to learn more about just how MTSS takes a role, especially with language too. I think that we sometimes, when we talk about academics, we forget how language learners are impacted and need that tier help as well. So just describe a little bit about your journey with MTSS.
Yeah, when we launched our MTSS, we were also launching district-designed curriculum as per our core curriculum across almost every subject area. So when we were looking to launch MTSS, we started with our meeting structures because we knew we needed to have enough time and space protected to have tier one conversations since we were going to need to talk through a lot of our new curriculum pieces. So we started with that to ensure there was enough time to do all things core as well as tier two, and then tier three would kind of live throughout the school year based off of team meeting structures and things like that. We then looked at our continuum of support and interventions and saw how that connected to our new curriculum and maybe how it didn't. So we made sure to define our exit and entrance criteria for intervention, as well as expectations in terms of documentation, data, parent communication, from the core level all the way up to tier three. So that was kind of like our entry points in there.
So were you familiar with MTSS sort of before you, like maybe the better question is like, how long did you have this MTSS structure before you came into the role that you're in?
So I think coming out of special education really helped me because our district launched RTI in terms of using that for eligibility right at the start of my career. So I really had to dive deep into that and ensure I knew the ins and outs of that because I was responsible for completing evaluations for students for special education. I also had to ensure all of those components were in place for students on my caseload for eligibility, re-eligibility purposes. So I knew a lot in terms of data structures and practices when it came to response to intervention, but it took me, I think the new aha was really just seeing how beyond intervention MTSS is and how impactful your preventative and proactive approaches at your core really need to be. So I think it was a matter of moving. I would describe our district practices at that time that we transitioned from just RTI to be very data-driven, but really focused on intervention, who needed it, what the intervention needed to be, and how students progressed through that. Because it was also a time where we were launching this new curriculum across the board, I felt good about where we were at in terms of those pieces, but really refocusing to how do we know this core is working? What data do we have available within there formatively and such to help teachers be responsive planners and such like that? And ensuring that because of our big dual language population, what information do we have so that we can identify the right students for intervention?
Because that often happens with language learners that you have to identify, is it a language understanding issue or is it a different kind of issue, whether it be a learning disability or a different kind of intervention that's needed beyond that. And I think that that's hard to do when, you know, you're teaching kids a lot of things at the same time.
Right. And different, even your language allocation plan. And so we found, although it seemed so big and hard to get started with our dual language program, there were also benefits to that because we had assessments and resources in both English and Spanish or English and Polish, where students who are coming to school with other languages, we don't necessarily have access to those types of resources. So really making sure that when you do have those resources, you know how to approach that data to see, is this evidence to suggest a student is struggling with reading, for example, or is this evidence suggesting they're learning to read just fine and they're L1? They just need support in transferring that over to the other one. That's a totally different need, right?
Yes. Oh, so true. So true. That's such an interesting perspective. And I'm sure that you have so many different stories of students like that, that are, you know, learning to read in two different languages and, you know, the kind of progress that they make maybe looks different than a student that has, you know, primarily speaks English and what their struggles are. In all of this, like, what were your feelings when you first began sort of this MTSS process? Was it overwhelming? Was it, you're like, yes, this is it. We're going to make a big difference.
Yeah, well, and I was also coming into my new role at that time of the coordinator of assessment at MTSS. So to be honest, I think I came in overconfident because I knew so much about RTI, but then I realized it is so much more, right? So I think I was overwhelmed at first, and we were launching meeting structures that in my mind made sense and was going to give teachers that time and space to really unpack our new units and all of those pieces. But I think it wasn't until year two or year three that I formed our district MTSS team. And I think I was working too much as a singleton, thinking I had all the answers when really I really did not. And that it really takes, you know, all the different perspectives and everyone working together from our SEL and behavior department, our instruction department, our assessment department, you know, all of these different pieces. So once I had the right players at the table to work with me, I started feeling much better, much better.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's so true how MTSS, you know, because it covers so much, it requires a very much a team collaborative environment, and how that takes a group of people, takes a village, you know, as the saying goes, to really help make that difference. In all of that, can you share maybe an experience that you had with that team that you feel like was significant in your MTSS journey?
Sure. We were really good in terms of small group or individual student needs, but we weren't really as solid as we needed to be in terms of our system level work. And I would say that really took off with the adoption of Branching Minds and having the access to the different system level reports. But we quickly, probably not quick enough, but we were able to see just how predictable our data is, and how there are certain trends within our data that are, of course, some of them are long researched, and we're not the only district, you know, with dealing with some of this predictability, but that we were almost allowing it. And so our mantra, if you will, as a district team became, we need to dismantle the predictability in our data. And we no longer allow ourselves to what we call do things like, yeah, but our data, right? So when we're looking at our results by building, you know, a habit that may, you know, at least I and some others may have formed as, yeah, but that's a building that has, you know, a high EL population. And we call ourselves out now. We don't allow ourselves to do that because we can't excuse that. We need to, yes, and that is a building with high population of EL. So what do we need to do different or more for that school or that group of students? So I'm just really proud that we're no longer yeah, butting. I mean, that's our term that we use. And we yes, and, because without that, we're never going to dismantle that predictability.
That's really important. I think that's an important thing that you did with your team, is just really kind of nipping that idea. It's almost like we're allowing excuses for that predictability. And we're like, yeah, but you know, because of all these factors, this is why this data says that. Instead of saying, yes, and so we need to do something different to change that. And I think that that makes a huge impact as far as like proactively changing things for those students instead of just letting it continue. Because I think, and we can say that in education, a lot of times we've always done the things this, you know, yeah, but that's what we always do. Or yeah, that's just the cards we're dealt with. But it's almost like we actually can do something different. And I also want to recognize that you talked about how different buildings maybe need different resources. Mm-hmm. Was that a struggle for your district to do? Or did you sort of like, did that everyone kind of come on board with that? Because I know that some districts kind of with allocating resources and different things like that is a struggle.
You know, I'd say that we're in a place right now where we are being more transparent than ever with our data across buildings and such, and allowing ourselves to acknowledge the inequities that live within our system so that we can find those solutions. And it's not easy, but I think the more that we can learn about the experiences, how the experiences of building A really differ from building B down the road, you know, we're getting more empathy for each other. We're understanding each other's experiences. And I think we're getting to a place where, you know, we're going to be making some big decisions in terms of resource allocation, some new core curricular moves, and, you know, all of that. And I think people are starting to see that the same is not equal, and that we really need to think differently in how we allocate those places. So we haven't made a lot of big moves yet in terms of that. Mm-hmm. But I think that we, again, we're realizing that if we don't do things differently, we should expect to see the same results. So
yeah, that's very true. So let's talk about it on a micro level. Can you think of a story of a student or a few students that really stick out to you that have like maybe really benefited from this MTSS process?
Yeah. You know, I mentioned that we are trying to focus on the proactive and preventative efforts and mm-hmm. the impact that those can have. So the first thing that comes to my mind might be a little bit on a larger scale than you're specifically looking for, but because we're able to bring our SEL screener data into Branching Minds as a way to help us tier, we've been able to very easily identify students who rated themselves lower than we would like to see in terms of their sense of belonging at their school. Mm. And we had one school that recognized that and decided that, you know, it could be as simple as let's acknowledge this, let's be super aware of it, and let's, as a grade level team, wrap ourselves around these students who didn't have these higher ratings and be so intentional in our interactions with these students and make them feel loved and, you know, ensure that we're interacting with them. And this one school reduced the next time we gave our screener the number of students that we rated themselves as having a low sense of belonging was reduced to one student.
Wow. I mean, that's amazing.
You know, and just hearing that, and I mean, the more involved you are and the more you feel like you belong, the more ready you are to learn. So the huge mm-hmm. impact that is having on academics as well. And so we've really tried to spotlight that school and their efforts, and it's just become contagious. Now everybody's digging into their data, and it's just a happier place to live to know that I have this group of students that I'm going to smile and say hi to. And, you know,
that's kind of amazing because it's also highlighting the fact that there's something that can change, right? There's something that teachers were like, okay, this is something we can do. This is something we can change and do something about. And how that just maybe having that in the forefront of your mind of like, I want my students to feel like they belong, can impact those students in bigger ways than just, you know, that one survey, but, you know, in their academics. Yeah. And it changes the school culture too.
For sure. Yeah. We had, so this was an elementary building that kind of started this campaign or whatever you want to call it, this movement. And I will never forget the reaction of one of our junior high social workers. He's like, this is going to save lives. And I kind of like giggled and he's like, I'm not joking, because that student who is in third grade and rates themselves as not belonging, what that looks like when they get to eighth grade, if nothing is done. So, you know, it was just so powerful. And, you know, hopefully these efforts continue to keep things, you know, down where they need to be, and they prevent them from becoming bigger, and students really get to see how wonderful they are and all of that. So even though it's a small thing, just being super, you know, and
that gives me chills, and like I'm slightly tearing up because I taught middle school. And so I understand the sort of the impact that starts with, right? It yeah. starts earlier than when they're in eighth grade and they're really struggling to find a place to belong, because if they didn't feel like they belonged in third grade, it starts a pattern in their lives and their mindset about themselves. And that's just so important in how they perceive themselves as learners and like whether they have a place to be, you know? Right. So that's amazing. I love hearing that story. And even if it's not about one student, yeah. it's really, and you probably sit differently at the district level, seeing things by school and things like that. So that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. If you could kind of think back to, even if it's what you wish you would have known when you started this MTSS process, or what would you want others to know about implementing MTSS?
Oh, that's a good question. So I think if I, off the top of my head, if I could change one thing, simple. It may seem silly, but I'm telling you the impact that it has had. If I could change one thing, and we were developing our meeting structures, I wouldn't call it an MTSS meeting, because now so many people who are slightly disconnected think MTSS is a meeting. right? I have to go to MTSS. And it's not. It's the impact that we have as a system, all the things that we do on a day-to-day basis on behalf of students, you know, from us, of course, it's an assessment and intervention and all those things, but it's also having, you know, a reliable core approach. It's relationships with families. It's communication. It's, you know, all the things that happen from the littlest thing all the way up to the biggest. And I just wish I wouldn't call it an MTSS meeting, because I think it loses what a multi-tiered system of support really is.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is MTSS, that abbreviation, often we forget what our abbreviations mean, right? Yeah. We have all these acronyms for stuff. And so I think that really thinking multi-tiered system of supports, and just really thinking about it's a system, it's an infrastructure, it's sort of a way of life, you know, and how you run the school. So it's not just about a meeting. And, you know, I think that says a lot about people who think of, you know, are dreading meetings and things like that.
Yeah.
But that's an important factor. Maybe somebody who listens to this will change the way that they won't call them meetings, you know. So in all of the work that you're doing, what is a goal that maybe you have for yourself or your school community?
I'd have to say cohesiveness. And, you know, being in a district that has so many departments and programs and schools, you know, we all have goals and dreams and all of that. And I think that, you know, unintentionally, if we don't work together, they can go against each other. So our new district strategic plan goal is really, you know, I see it being having the ability to bring it together to ensure that all these things that we are doing are working together, not alongside each other, or even worse, against each other, but really just making sure that all these core curricular moves that we're having alongside intervention moves and all of that are connecting with each other so that we're creating these cohesive experiences for our teachers and students.
Sounds like what most school districts, organizations need is just that cohesiveness. And so... And right, you're right. It does impact the teachers and the students in the end. So what's exciting about that? Sort of looking at that goal and even just in this next year, what's exciting about the work that you're doing?
You know, I think it's when you know, as a team, gather around your data and identify something that you want to study further and put something in place and you see the results. So we were looking at our system level data and we noticed that our data across our system in grades 3 through 5 suggested that our students were going to need more differentiated opportunities than just our core lesson structures were going to be able to provide. So we built a win block into their day so that there was a half an hour every day in addition to the core lesson to allow for differentiation. And when we just did we rescreened our students again in the fall, and looking at our data fall to fall, I mean, the movement that our kids made was just, it was huge. So now we have, you know, you see that return on investment, and, you know, and I'm not even talking, you know, money, just like the effort and the time and the planning and all of that went into it. And just to see the fruits of that labor and that students, you know, are really starting to close that gap on a large scale is huge. So we have some more things that we're ready to do this year, and we're just really excited and hoping we continue to see results.
That's really awesome. So for the listener, what does WIN stand for?
What I need. So there's now a half an hour in all of our 3rd through 5th grade students' day that is focused on math, and they go to get what they need. So that could be intervention. It could be enrichment. It could be just additional practice within the core targets. It's whatever they need to make them more successful in math.
I like that it's what I need, because that's different for every kid. And I love that. That's really great. And I also love that you're right. Like that return on the investment of time, energy, you know, planning. I think that helps propel teachers forward. And so that's exciting. I'm so excited for you guys. And it's so exciting to hear just the different changes that you've been able to implement and how, you know, when you see that movement forward, it's easier to get people more excited about the work when you get to see results, I'm sure. So I'm so thankful to have this conversation with you. And it's so helpful to hear what your experience is, you know, in the field, right? So in our Schooling Around podcast, we also like to have fun and enjoy school, apparently, because we are all educators. So my question that I'm asking everybody is, what is your favorite school supply?
So those who know me would laugh right now. I'd have to say anything that allows me to color code, and that's digitally or manually, anything that I can do to color code.
Oh my gosh, I love that, because I used to have like different color crates for like books for each hour that I had as a teacher, and I had folders and I had pen, like I would label everything those color. Every first hour was pink, every fourth hour was purple. And so I love that. Color coding is definitely the way to make life easier in my mind.
So, yeah, I think so too.
That's really great. Well, thank you so much, Tricia, for talking with me today and just sharing what the work that you're doing in your district. And I just appreciate having you today.
Well, thanks. Thanks for the invite. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Schooling Around, hosted by Branching Minds. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. You can find us on our website, branchingminds.com, or connect with us on Twitter or Facebook at Branching Minds.